Support for IPR comes from Hands in Harmony, a therapeutic healthcare facility with a splash of spa and a team of holistic healers to help in the quest for health, harmony, and happiness. Cedar Rapids and Mount Vernon. Classes, massage, and more at myhih.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today is Horticulture Day, and of course, there was frost across much of the state this morning. A strong reminder that winter is just around the corner. That doesn't mean you're done with your yard or garden yet. Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, will be with us in a few minutes to answer your garden and landscape questions. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We are going to start the hour with your yard. Adam Tomes is an Assistant Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State and a turf grass specialist. Hello, Adam.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. And I want to start with mowing because I'm eager to not mow again until spring. Let's talk about how we decide when we can stop.
Sure. It's just like the rest of the year. So you're never going to want to remove more than one third of the leaf tissue at a time in a mowing. And so the grass has really slowed down in the last 2 weeks with growth. And so I think, honestly, for most people, you're probably talking about mowing once more during the year for the lawn as far as the grass goes. Now, leaves, that's a different story. But as far as grass growth goes, you probably have one more mowing left.
All right. And how long should you leave your grass when you think about that last mow of the year?
Yeah. And so, you know, most of the time we like to say if you can leave it at 2.5 to 3 inches, that's great. And that will just help the plant through the winter months. There's nothing against if you want to mow it down to 2 inches for the winter and kind of let those leaves blow across your yard. There's no reason that, you know, the environmental conditions won't hurt that either. So in the ideal world, though, you know, you just keep it at the same height you have been mowing it at.
All right. Well, and now let's talk about leaves because they are falling fast and furious in a lot of places. And of course, there are a lot more leaves to come in the next few weeks. And this has been one of those areas where we've seen a lot of change in recent years. Of course, years ago, we all raked up all of our leaves and did whatever we did with them. And now that's not necessarily what you should do. Tell me how to handle leaves in my yard.
Yeah, as far as the leaves in your yard go, you know, what I always like to say is leave them in your yard, chop them up, let them fall through the turf canopy, and that's free fertilizer for you. And so there's no need to rake every leaf off your yard. Just mow them so that they're small enough and they fall down in to the canopy and the grass leaves can poke through it. And it's kind of a natural fertilizer, and it also leaves behind some material for some of the soil microbes to feed off of. And so that's a good thing for those as well. It kind of improves the overall health of your yard by recycling those and mulching them in.
Are there exceptions to that rule? Are there situations where you look and think you're not going to be able to mulch those leaves in?
Yeah, there's some yards around that you look at and the leaves are 1.5 feet deep and you go, whoa. Even in that case, you could probably mow across it. You might have to mow across the 3 directions or something like that. And you could probably still get them chopped up small enough. But, you know, if they're still smothering the yard, it's probably worth raking them at that point if you've mowed across it twice and trying to get some of that material off. Otherwise, they will smother out the grass.
Now, of course, a lot of us live in communities where if you rake your leaves to the curb, the city will come by and pick them up. Thankfully, a lot of cities are composting that yard waste, and that's great because there's a whole recycling system going on there as well. Are you hearing about communities kind of changing their guidance or even changing practices as more and more people are mulching their leaves and leaving them on the lawn?
You know, some communities have reached out and asked about it, and they've actually kind of discontinued it because so many people are mulching their yards and leaving them that it's just not worth their time. And you know, the biggest thing there is, I mean, I think every community is, you know, begging you not to put them in the plastic bags because obviously that stops the degradation process of the leaves. And so that's, you know, the biggest issue there is make sure you don't rake your leaves into plastic bags and set them out. Put them in something that's going to break down in a compost pile.
All right. And this just seems like huge positive change on a lot of fronts.
Yeah, it's a I mean, it's a great thing to have, you know, to change. Again, like I said, it's free fertilizer. You know, it's better for the environment. Anytime you can use what's there, you don't have to bring in fertilizer. And it's a win for the plants. They get free food, and it's an even application normally by the time you mow it. So it's not like you have to worry about applying the fertilizer evenly either.
And for most of us, at least, it's a lot less work. I like that part of it, too. Speaking of fertilization, let's talk about late fall fertilization. Is that something that you would recommend to people?
Yeah, so there's still a window for late fall fertilization, and this is a very important fertilizer application. We typically say, you know, that late October, early November, you can still put one last application down of nitrogen, and that's going to help feed your plant for that early spring growth and help green things up. So, you know, if you're one of those people that likes to see green early in the spring, then this application here is going to help set those food reserves up so the plant will come out of dormancy in the spring and be green for you.
Do you have any specific guidance for people? I know that you recommend that when people fertilize their lawns, they do their best to make sure the fertilizer is on their lawn and is the proper amount and is going to be used by the lawn instead of washing away. Are there specific pitfalls to watch for this time of year?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. If you're going to put out a fertilizer, obviously make sure you deal with the leaves first. You don't want to put the fertilizer out on top of the leaves. And so mow your yard first to make sure it's chopped up so that the fertilizer can fall down into the yard. The other thing, like always, you know, make sure you go back and get any granulars that might fall out into sidewalks or onto the road. Blow those back up into the yard and then continue to use a slow-release fertilizer or an organic-type fertilizer, something that's not going to have a big rush of nutrients because that's better for the plant and better for the environment as far as that goes.
Do you need to keep a close eye on the forecast to make sure that the fertilizer will do what it needs to do?
Yeah, that's another good point. We never want to put it out in front of a lot of rain because, you know, obviously that can move the fertilizer. It can also release the fertilizer unevenly. And so kind of watch it as far as that goes. You know, obviously if snow gets in the forecast, don't put it out on top of snow because that's not going to get you where you want it to be either. So, yeah, kind of watch the forecast, make sure you're still, you know, the grass is still in growing conditions. So, mid 60s in the day, that grass will still, you know, it'll be taking up the plant food as far as that goes.
Now, for people who feel like a weed-free lawn is very important, this may be the type of time of year where you feel like the battle is done, but there are other things you can do as far as weed control, right?
Yep. Now is a good time to control a lot of those broadleaf weeds, if that's, you know, a concern. Probably the number one question that any of us in the Department of Horticulture get is how to control Creeping Charlie in my yard. And now is a great time to go after that and spray for that if, you know, that's bothering you as well. And you can do that even after the first frost because those weeds will continue to take up that herbicide.
And what is your window for that?
Yeah, so again, we're going to look at, you know, now through when we don't have daytime temperatures in the 60s, down into the mid-50s. At that point, you need to stop with the herbicide applications because the plants aren't going to take up that herbicide.
All right. Now, here's a question that I know we'll probably get today and we get all the time. Can I still seed my yard?
Yep, that's a good question. Pretty common one. So the answer here is you can put out grass seed. It may or may not come up. But more than likely, it's just going to lay there and be very spotty. And so I would save the money on the grass seed unless you absolutely have to do it for soil erosion reasons. The soil temps are cooling off. The nights are getting so cool that you're kind of outside that window that grass would establish and do what you want it to do. So you're probably better served to just wait till the spring at this point.
If you do absolutely have to do it for soil erosion reasons, is there a better approach to take?
Yep. The best approach as far as that goes right now is the fact that we know it's going to be so spotty and slow in coming in would be to put down some sort of a mulch with it. And so whether it be a straw or one of those erosion control blankets with the turf, at establishment. That's just going to help kind of cover the soil so it doesn't move on you while that grass really slowly comes up and kind of sits there because the temperatures aren't optimal.
All right. And even so, you might have to reseed again in the future, right?
Yep. Yep. I would completely plan on additional seeding in the spring.
All right. And you came on the show just a few weeks ago to tell us it was time to aerate our lawns. I'm sure not everybody has done it yet. Is it still time to aerate our lawns?
Yeah, you can still aerate your yards now. I think the benefits outweigh any risk as far as that goes for late fall aerations. And so, you know, the biggest benefit there is you're relieving compaction in your yard and also opening up spots for when it rains so water can go down into your yard and recharge the yard's soil moisture. So go ahead, continue to aerate. Again, when do you stop that? Typically, when we start to get temperatures down out of the 60s for temperatures there, that's going to be the point at which there's no longer time to aerate.
All right, which you've repeated that a lot. So that's pretty much the end of lawn care for the year, other than mulching up the leaves, is when the temperatures stop reaching 60 degrees or so during the day.
Yep, yep. That's kind of the point at which we can put away the mowers, wash them up, and start to think about snow.
All right. And just remind us, with lawn aeration, is that something that you recommend doing every year?
Yeah, I really wish everyone would do it every year. I think the benefits there in the yard are just so great. And, you know, it improves water, again, movement into the soil instead of running off. So I would love to see people do it every year. And if you live in a new subdivision, you probably should be doing it in the spring and the fall just because your subsoil is so compact.
All right. Well, Adam, we are going to take a short break and then we'll be back to answer more questions. Adam Tomes is here, assistant professor of horticulture at Iowa State University and a turf grass specialist with Iowa State University Extension. Cindy Haynes, associate professor of horticulture at Iowa State University, will be with us in just a moment. And Adam and Cindy will answer your questions about your lawn, your garden, your landscape, your trees, anything. Give us a call. 866-780-9100. 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR comes from the Healing Room at Upstream Functional Medicine, offering medical spa services that support the body's natural ability to detoxify from environmental challenges. Learn more about the Healing Room at upstreamfm.com. Support for IPR comes from the Healing Room at Upstream Functional Medicine, offering medical spa services that support the body's natural ability to detoxify from environmental challenges. Learn more about the Healing Room at upstreamfm.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, Adam Tomes. He is an assistant professor of horticulture at Iowa State University and a turf grass specialist. Cindy Haynes, associate professor of horticulture at Iowa State University, is here now as well. Hello, Cindy.
Good morning, Charity.
And I know for a lot of people that first frost feels like the end of everything. And for some people, it's kind of an exciting time. Like if you want your Brussels sprouts to be extra delicious or your kale to be a little bit sweeter. I mean, there are still things going on, right?
Right. It's the end of some things, end of a lot of annuals, but the beginning of other things that are nice. So we have another month of doing some fun things like harvesting some of those cool season vegetables or planting bulbs. That's something else we can be doing. And after that first frost, it makes it a little easier.
Right. It's definitely on my list, Cindy. I'm not going to wait for Thanksgiving this year. I promise you. All right. Here's a question. We'll start with an email question for you, Cindy, from Janine in Iowa City.
Okay.
This week, I had to dig a bed of iris. Is it too late to plant them? And if so, can I still plant them in the spring?
You know, I would probably plant them now. Get them in, just because you don't, it's more likely to be successful if you plant them now than if trying to kind of keep them in a container in your garage. But there's some extra effort you're going to have to go through to make sure that they overwinter well, because they may not have enough time to reestablish a good root system. So plant them where you would like them to be if you have that designated. Water them well and mulch them well after kind of a couple of hard frost to kind of protect that root system. And they'll probably be fine. And then you've already done the work this fall, and you don't have to store them in like an unheated garage over the winter.
Okay. So their odds are better, it sounds like, if you plant them now.
The odds are better. Otherwise, you're going to have to store them in an unheated garage maybe for the winter, or put them in containers and nurse them in or heal them into somewhere, in the soil, and then replant them in the spring, early in the spring. So, yeah, you're probably not going to get a lot of flowers on them next spring anyway. So just getting them into the ground and giving them at least a couple of weeks to start to get established a root system might be better than holding them somewhere else.
All right, let's go to the phones. We've got a lawn care question for you, Adam, and you can join the conversation at 866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Catherine is on the line in State Center. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
I'm interested in using corn gluten meal to build my lawn up. I know there are a number of good benefits. I'm interested in where I can source it and what sort of application techniques should be used.
Yeah, great question. Adam?
Yeah, so typically with corn gluten meal, it's available. If you go out on the web, a lot of the garden centers also carry it. And so if you go in and ask your garden centers, they have it or they have access to it. The other key thing there is timing of the year for applications. We say to apply an active rate of about 20 pounds of product per 1,000 square feet. So it's quite a bit higher than some of your other fertilizers that you would use. But we say to apply that in the spring, so April, and then again in August or September. And that's your two application times a year that you would apply corn gluten meal.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Catherine. And Adam, mm-hmm. for people who aren't familiar with the use of corn gluten meal, remind us of what we can do with that.
Yeah, so corn gluten meal is a byproduct of corn milling, and it works as a pre-emergent herbicide, a natural one, as well as a fertilizer. And so because it's a natural product, it works slowly, and so you have patience with it, but over several years, it will improve. I mean, you'll see an instant color boost in your yard, but slowly over time, it'll also help reduce your weed population.
All right, and it's been shown to be very effective, but you also need to be consistent with it, right?
Yeah, yep, it's very effective. You need to make sure that you're following the two applications a year and at 20 pounds of product per 1,000 square feet.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Dan is on the line in Scott County. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What's your question?
Yes, I have some native cedar trees that I've transplanted, and they're in a row, and they've been there about 4 years, and I want to shape them where they kind of look like Christmas trees or normal shape mm-hmm. of an evergreen. When can I do that?
Cindy?
Well, this is probably the best question, better for Mark Vitosh, a forester. But yeah, you can do some pruning on those in late spring and also again in the summer. So Christmas tree growers usually do a couple of pruning on things like Eastern red cedar so that you have that kind of ideal shape that you would want in late fall for Christmas. You can do a little bit of hand pruning now if there's one of them that you're thinking about as a Christmas tree, but you don't want to do a whole lot of pruning now because you want it to kind of grow out of that so that it has that shape and looks like it was naturally that shape. And you won't have a lot of time for it to kind of, cover up those kind of pruning cuts now. So think about spring, maybe sometime in May, and then again, probably sometime in the summer are your two options for pruning to shape these trees.
All right, Dan, thanks for your
call.
And Yeah, I will also mention that Jeff Iles, another great tree guy, is going to be on the show next Friday. So if you have follow-up questions, tree questions are very welcome next Friday on Horticulture Day. All right, here is a question, I think, for you, Adam, from Sam in West Des Moines. I have an area of tall field grass, like brome, tall fescue, etc., sort of like you'd see in a farm's waterway. Should this grass be left alone or mowed once a year?
It's best normally to mow those once a year, and that kind of helps thicken the grass and reset it back and get some of the dead material off of it. It'll make a healthier stand if you do that.
Okay, and is there timing that he should keep in mind as far as when to mow it?
Yeah, you definitely don't want to mow it in the spring because that's when a lot of the wildlife habitat would be, you know, seeking for cover there, potentially using it. I believe normally that they do that in the late summer, early fall is when they typically would say to do that.
All right. And do you think it would be too late for it this year, or should he go ahead and mow? I mean, that's nice habitat for overwintering creatures.
Yeah, I would probably leave it because of the timing in the fall right now.
All right. Here's a question for you, Cindy, from Jonathan and Slater. Mm-hmm. We planted 3 new trees, 2 red buds, 1 green spire linden a couple of weeks ago. It's part of our post-derecho for remediation, finally. I've been watering most days for these first 2 weeks. I was going to start tapering off to every few days this weekend. My question is, when do I start or stop watering for winter?
Right. So I like the idea that you're checking on them regularly and watering as needed. And that's what you need to start doing now. So maybe if you can go out there and just kind of feel the soil around the base of the plant where that root system is so that you're keeping it moist, and that may only require water once a week for the next few weeks to kind of get it to start establishing a root system. When the ground freezes, you know, the water's not going to be beneficial. So I would suggest through Thanksgiving, probably watering every week or every couple of weeks, depending on what type of soil you have. If it's a heavy clay soil that you've planted these into, you can easily go 2 weeks. It'll stay moist enough for 2 weeks at a time. So yeah, it kind of depends on your soil type. And the cooler temperatures will help. You won't have to water quite as much, but that ground's still warm enough for roots to continue to develop. But once the ground freezes, probably can stop the watering practice.
He also asks, I did lightly stake them for winter winds. Is that appropriate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine. Especially if you're in kind of an exposed area, you want the staking to be flexible enough so that it still moves a little bit with the winter winds or with the winds. That helps develop the girth and the stem strength on trees. So you want it to be able to move a little bit. The important thing in staking is that it's not there for more than a year or two. So it needs to come off as quickly as possible. But this winter, especially since they've just been planted, it's often an okay idea to have them staked through the first winter.
Should he also think about putting up some protection for bunnies or deer around the trees?
Absolutely. Because these are young and they're succulent and they're probably easy to chew on. So yes, protect the trunks and keep deer and rabbits out or away from it. And you might be able to use those stakes as, you know, to help support fencing. To keep them away.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 866-780-9100. Tommy is on the line in Johnston. Hi, Tommy.
Hi.
What's your question?
I'm hoping you can help me. 26 years ago when we built the house, the landscaper put in a couple of packages of decorative grasses. Well, now I found out now it's switchgrass, and it's taking mm-hmm. over all my flower beds, and I need to know how to get rid of it. Do I have to dig it all up or what?
Cindy, you want
to
take that one?
Yeah, So switchgrass is a nice ornamental grass. It is a native grass, and it is pretty nice as an ornamental, and it will reseed in some areas. So there are a couple of options. I mean, you can use a chemical like Roundup. You want to spray it carefully on the leaves and the foliage, and then that will kill those particular plants or those seedlings. The organic option here, though, is just simply digging them up and removing them. So I might suggest that you remove what you can this fall, and then see what comes back in the spring. And if you don't want it in that area in the spring, that might be a good time to paint onto that particular switchgrass, something like Roundup or glyphosate, to kind of have another level of control.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Tommy. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Dick is up next in Indianola. Hello, Dick.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
I have a question about boxwood bushes. They're probably 10 to 15 years old. Need to know about when the best time is to trim them, whether it's in the fall or the spring.
Right. So boxwoods are a nice kind of evergreen. I would not prune them now. Don't do any pruning on boxwoods now. Sometimes that will encourage some new growth, which won't have time to acclimate for winter. So if you want to hold off and do that pruning in the spring, kind of after the new growth has appeared, and you can prune them again actually in the summer to kind of keep them in shape as well. So it's nice that you have some boxwoods that are over 10 years old. That's really good. And I would just say wait to do some pruning on those until 2022.
All right, next we've got Rachel on the line in Marion. Hello, Rachel.
Hi. I planted some new peony plants a couple weeks ago, thinking it was late enough to do so, but they have started to sprout now, and they're a couple inches tall already, and I'm wondering, what should I do with those now that it's getting cold?
Yeah, there's not anything you can do. They're a little off-kilter. They're probably going to get blasted back. Hopefully just continue to water them so that they develop a decent root system so that they can come back in the spring. They're probably not going to bloom well for you next year. But yeah, I think this colder weather, cooler nights that we're having right now will kind of knock them back or stall them for a bit. You can also mulch them heavily to try and protect that whatever new growth is coming up. But my guess is it's going to get zapped at some point. But if it establishes a good root system, you should see some new growth even next spring.
Rachel, thank you so much for your call. And I mean, she wasn't probably expecting a whole lot of blooms next spring anyway, right?
Right. It's kind of weird. This has been a weird fall. Things have been blooming and coming up.
Yeah.
Maybe that they shouldn't be, but for something newly planted, you know, coming up now and then getting totally blasted by cold or frost, could be a little more detrimental than maybe with many other plants.
So, all right, here's a question.
I would tell Rachel to kind of keep an eye out for maybe she might be buying some new peonies in the spring too.
Okay.
Sorry.
it's good to be honest, even when it's hard.
Yes.
Here's a question from Lynn in Iowa City. Speaking of weird weather, she says, the past few years I've planted garlic between October 17th and October 25th. It's usually up a few inches before growth stops with cold temperatures. I'm thinking about delaying planting for another week or two because weather seems to have been warmer than usual. Soil temperature at 3 inches was 56 degrees yesterday. What do you think?
I think it's fine. I think you can plant garlic late into October and even into November and be okay. And you don't necessarily have to have any new growth or much new growth on the garlic this fall. So, yeah, I think it's fine. So maybe she's got a new plan. So maybe I like how she's doing all the science around it as well. So
right, it's pretty cool. I suspect she had originally planned to plant this weekend. Would it be detrimental for her to plant this weekend if the soil's a little warmer?
No, it probably would be perfectly fine to plant this weekend or the next weekend or the next weekend. So I think she would be okay either way. And I don't think it'll be detrimental.
All right. So now you've got oodles of flexibility. We may have to come back to this one in a moment, but this is a question from Dave. What is the best cover crop for a backyard 14-foot by 28-foot garden plot?
Well, there are lots of cover crop options, and I'm trying to think about what Ajay Nair talks about a lot. Are some of the brassicas as cover crops, even winter rye as a cover crop. What's the purpose? Is just a cover crop for over the winter?
Spell it out, but why don't we we'll touch on this a little bit when we come back from the break. Let's take a short break. Cindy Haynes, Iowa State University Extension horticulture specialist, is here. Adam Tomes, Iowa State University Extension turf grass specialist. They are here to answer your questions. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR comes from The Healing Room at Upstream Functional Medicine, offering medical spa services that support the body's natural ability to detoxify from environmental challenges. Learn more about The Healing Room at upstreamfm.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today with me, Adam Tomes, Iowa State University Extension turf grass specialist, and Cindy Haynes, Iowa State University Extension horticulture specialist. They are here to answer your questions, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And okay, so just before the break, we were talking a little bit about cover crops. And Cindy, do you want to talk more about cover crops, or maybe do you have some advice on how to get information?
Well, in that break, I went to ISU Extension and went to a couple of publications. One's called the Short Duration Cover Crops for Vegetable Production Systems. And there are a couple of publications on cover crops that Dr. Nair has produced. So that would be a good place, I think, to go and look at the different options. It often depends on, you know, when you're planting the cover crop. So winter would be a different short duration than if you're trying to plant during the growing season. And rye is one of them. There's oilseed radish, maybe even yellow mustard. And there's clover that could be a possibility too. So, and I think when doing this for just this winter season, you need to think about what advantages and challenges are there. And those are laid out in those publications.
Okay, so search for Iowa State University Extension publications on cover crops. He's also wondering where to purchase cover crops seed, which I think is getting easier, but often has to be kind of a mail order type situation, doesn't it still?
It is a mail order situation. You can go and check with your local feed and seed company. You can even check with garden centers, and they may be able to purchase some for you and order it in. But very few of them actually have it on hand. So this is usually, and for most homeowners, we want a smaller quantity. We're not planting an acre. So it's often a mail order source.
All right, let's go to the phones, 866-780-9100. Jim is on the line in Hudson. Hi, Jim.
Well, good morning.
Hi.
I have a question in that I just had brand new landscaping put in, and most of it is potted from the nursery, so it's looking good. I've just been watering every other day. But I did transplant 3 hydrangea plants that have been there for a while, and they really look shy in shock. I was wondering about cutting them back and if I should water them more than the other plants.
Right. They're probably in shock because they lost a lot of the root system during the transplanting. And it, until recently, it's been fairly hot and dry. So water as needed. So check the soil first. Watering every other day should probably be enough, and maybe even too much. So that's why you need to check the soil. If you've got a kind of a heavier clay soil, you may be able to back off to once a week on that. As far as pruning, with the hydrangeas, I might prune off any of kind of the deadhead any of the flowers, if there's any flowers remaining. They may have done some pruning already when they transplanted it. And I wouldn't do a lot of other pruning on it right now. Let the plant decide if there's going to be any kind of stem loss, because then those weak areas that will drop off, and you might have to do some more pruning in the spring anyway. So I would just not worry about it. Just call it part of your Halloween landscape at the moment. But yeah, water is your most important thing. Don't worry about the pruning this fall.
All right, Jim, thanks a lot for your call. Brian in Des Moines says, I have a well-established peony bed, but the past two seasons, we've had a substantial amount of powdery mildew that comes about in September. Last year, we used a homemade spray on the leaves, cut everything back to the ground, and in the spring, raked up and threw out all the mulch. This year in September, it came back, and we cut the foliage down to the ground, bagged it, and threw it out, then used neem oil on the ground around the peony bunches. Why does the powdery mildew form, and how can I avoid it permanently?
Right. So, and this is something we're seeing a lot more on peonies in the last few years than we did, you know, two decades ago. So it's becoming a little more common. Peonies, especially peonies that are in the shade or getting some shade, have more of an issue with this than peonies that are in full sun. So this might be another tactic, a cultural practice that might reduce powdery mildew. So making sure that those peonies are getting plenty of sun, at least 8 hours of sun, if not all day sun, so that they're blooming well, maybe they'll have less problems with powdery mildew. Another thing to think about is good air circulation between the peonies. And if it's a peony bed, maybe it's time to divide some of those peonies so that you put a little more space between one and another so there's more air circulation as well. The best time to do that was probably in August. I wouldn't do that now. I would wait until next year to do that in late August so that it has enough time to reestablish a good root system. So those are the two things that I would consider and hopefully that will reduce the powdery mildew issues in the fall. But honestly, it's probably not going to totally eliminate it. The other things you can continue to do is that sanitation in the fall, removing all of that foliage, that diseased foliage, and once again, not putting it in the compost pile, getting it off of the site might be another great tactic. The only other way to prevent it is usually a fungicide, and they're best as a preventative instead of a remedy after the fact. And usually it's so late in the season, I'm not even sure it's worth it. That's it.
Well, I was just going to ask that because powdery mildew is gross. We don't like it. Yes. Does it actually hurt the plants?
It usually doesn't kill it. It can stress it out, you know, over a long period of time. But usually there's an underlying condition, like I said before, maybe shade that's causing some stress too. It usually, powdery mildew usually doesn't kill the plant. So you could just tell your neighbors for that month in September that you have a gray foliage peony for the month of September. And if that makes you feel better. And then, or remove the leaves, because it's not going to probably be totally detrimental to the plant. And they usually still bloom well.
All right. And we are going to go back to the phones. Now we've got a whole bunch of lawn questions for you, Adam. So, let's start with Colette in Waterloo. Hello, Colette.
Good morning. I had to reseed my whole backyard, start from scratch this fall. I planted the seeds September 15th. It did really well. Sprouted, lovely. I've had to mow it twice. But of course, I'm getting some weeds in it now. Is the grass too young for me to use a weed killer on, like one that says it doesn't kill the grass but just kills the weeds? Is it too soon?
Normally we say after the second mowing that the grass is mature enough to handle a herbicide application. And so I would say since you've mowed it twice, you're right on that edge of the age. I'd wait maybe another week, and then you should be okay to do that.
Okay, great.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I want to preserve it.
Yeah, it sounds like it really worked out well. Colette, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, William in Dubuque. Hello, William.
Yes, hi. This is William speaking.
Hi, what's your question?
I was wondering, you guys were discussing herbicides for Creeping Charlie earlier, and I was just curious if there's a more natural remedy for that instead of using like a toxic chemical. If there's something more natural that you could use, because I have pets and kids and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure.
In the yard.
Adam?
Yeah, so Creeping Charlie's really tough because it's a perennial. And so a lot of times, a lot of the more natural products, like corn gluten meal, don't necessarily work that well on it. Some of the best things to do would be, one, Creeping Charlie really outcompetes turf in the shade. And so consider, you know, maybe cutting some of your tree limbs up to get more light in there to give competition. Another thing that we typically would say that works is you can smother out the Creeping Charlie. If you put down like black plastic and leave that down for an extended period of time, that can kind of smother the plant and prevent it there. Hand pulling, of course, is about as natural as you can get on that for fighting it. There's some iron applications too that you can do. You'll have to make a lot of those, but that will kind of burn back the tissue.
All right, William, I hope that works out for you. That sounds like, as Donald Lewis would say, a hobby that you have to, it's quite the undertaking and you get to do it for a few years, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's not going to be a one and done for sure.
All right. Diane is on the line next in Ames. Hello, Diane.
Hi. I live in a townhouse complex. I happen to be on the board, and we have a lot of plantings that were done with landscape fabric and crushed brick. But it's old enough now that it's adulterated with too much soil and organic matter that it's no longer stopping any weeds. Is there some options other than digging it all up and replacing it that I could do?
Cindy, you want to tackle that one?
Sure. For controlling weeds, there's always a chemical, an herbicide, something like Roundup, in between the plants that you want to keep. In the rock mulch, because that actually works pretty well at killing whatever weeds are coming up. Hand pulling also is not easy, especially in a rock mulch, but weeds that get established between the weed barrier and in the soil that's in the rock mulch are usually a little easier to pull and remove that way. So that's some other things that you can do. Yeah, I don't know of any other kind of easy tactics besides just regularly pulling and then maybe using a chemical application. Adam, do you have any other ideas?
Yeah, I was going to say you would have to clean the existing weeds up, and then you could put down a pre-emergence. There's several that are labeled for landscape use, and that would be a way to prevent it from coming back or if you hand pull them to put down a heavy mulch or something, but.
Right. And you probably want to put rock mulch back on, but you know, after 2 or 3 inches of rock mulch, it's still just rock mulch and the organic matter.
Yeah.
And you still have that weed seed in there. So the pre-emergence is a good idea, especially for those annual weeds that are germinating from the seeds.
All right, Diane, thanks a lot for your call. And let's go to Dave in Norwalk. Hi, Dave.
Hi, guys. Hey, so I got a beautiful but torn up backyard full of crabgrass, and I overseeded it, I aerated it, and I put down malorganite and ironite. And I used Tenacity, and that seems to be working really well. Should I put down another application this fall, and when should I do it again in the spring?
Yeah, so the good news is last night's temps and the upcoming temps should take care of your crabgrass problem. It's a summer annual, and so the frost is going to kill it. And then hopefully your fertilizer will thicken the yard to prevent it from coming back. So next spring you could go with a pre-emergent application around April 15th or so, and that will prevent the crabgrass from coming back in your yard next year.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Dave. Mary's up next in Clinton. Hi, Mary. Mary, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Yes. I have a really old lilac bush. It's very large, and it's probably about 50 years old. How severely should I cut it back or trim it down? And also, I just wanted to mention there are other methods for getting rid of weeds, such as just digging them up.
Yep, we did talk about that, Mary. Let's answer your question because we're almost out of time. Cindy?
Sure. So for pruning the lilac, you can do something called renewal pruning. You can look that up online. And what basically it does is remove a third of the stems each year during the dormant season for 3 years. So this February or March, you would go out and cut back the 3 or 5 of the oldest stems back to the ground. You would do that again next February or March, and then the following February or March. And then by the end of that 3 years, you have a lilac that nothing is more than 3 years old, and it's still blooming, and you're not losing some of those blooms in between. It still looks a little big and unruly for a couple of years, but it's a way to rejuvenate it and renew it so that you have a smaller shrub that still blooms well for you.
All right, great. And let's try to squeeze in a couple more questions here from Mark and Marion. Should I wait until after the first frost, which is forecasted for tonight, to pull my caladiums or dahlias, or should I pull them today?
You can pull them after the frost. Sometimes it's helpful to have the frost to kill all the tops on those because it's still not going to freeze the ground. And then you know where they are and you dig them up and you kind of dry them before storing them.
All right. And Linda is wondering how to divide and replant a bleeding heart. It's been in its spot for 15 years and has lots of gnarly stuff on top of the ground.
Right. So it's like any perennial. You're just going to dig it up and divide it very carefully. I would say to wait to do this one until after it's done blooming in the spring, but before it goes dormant. So with bleeding heart, it often has this kind of yellow looking period after it's done blooming and the leaves turn yellow. That's when you want to dig it up and then just carefully kind of divide it into two pieces and then replant it as soon as you divide it.
All right. And Janet,
so that's probably going to be sometimes June. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And Janet in Fort Dodge wants to move a cream hibiscus from her mom's yard because her mother recently passed. Is it too late to transplant that or can she put it in a pot and overwinter it somehow?
Yeah, she can put it in a pot and overwinter it. It's getting a little too late to transplant it. If she can do it this weekend while it's still warm, otherwise, put it in a container and then bury the container so that, you know, she can replant it in the spring when she figures out what that spot will be.
All right, Janet, good luck with that. And Cindy Haynes, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And Adam Tomes, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Iowa State University Extension Turfgrass Specialist Adam Tomes, Cindy Haynes, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. We'll be back again next Friday with Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbe.